Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. Rescue crews are combing through the damage left behind by a series of severe flash floods in central Texas. Over 40 people are still missing throughout the Texas Hill Country, and at least 80 people have been confirmed dead. Reagan Brown and his parents were able to escape the floodwaters and save some of their neighbors in the town of Hunt.
They were able to escape up the hill, and they got word of their neighbor being stuck in her attic, so they went over and rendered aid and got her out. She's 92 years old.
More rain is in the forecast for the region for later today, sparking fears of additional flash flooding. President Trump has signed a major disaster declaration. The president is also scheduled to meet with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu later today. It comes as Trump has been touting a potential ceasefire deal between Israel and Hamas amid the ongoing war in Gaza. Indirect talks between Israel and Hamas have been taking place in Doha, Qatar, in recent days. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. New data shows more Wisconsin residents have been suffering from liver issues related to excessive alcohol consumption over recent years. According to a recent study, the number of Wisconsin residents who died as a result of one of the most common alcohol-related liver diseases rose from about 330 in 2019 to nearly 450 in 2023. The data also found that alcohol-related liver diseases leading to death are becoming increasingly common in women and younger people between the ages of 25 and 44. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin State Legislature officially passed the new biennial budget in the early hours of Thursday morning. The newly approved budget covers over $111 billion in spending over the next 2 years, including increased funding for the child care industry and universities of Wisconsin. The budget also includes a roughly $1.4 billion tax cut targeting the middle class. Governor Evers and lawmakers rushed to complete the budget process to avoid complications with Medicaid funding under the federal budget bill. An Ashland-based construction company has filed a lawsuit against the City of Rice Lake and Rice Lake Utilities Commission regarding the contract for a water main replacement project. According to the lawsuit, MJOLMA was one of six companies to bid on the project in May. Company officials say they submitted the lowest bid at just under $500,000, but the contract was awarded to a Cumberland company with a bid that was about $1,500 higher. The project is currently scheduled to get started by early August. Burnett County officials are advising residents of a boat landing closure in Oakland Township. According to a press release, the Devil's Lake boat landing will be closed for about 45 days beginning on July 21st. The closure is part of a reconstruction project, which will see the installation of a new boat ramp, the replacement of the aging restroom building, and the repavement of the driveway. County officials also say the project will force them to partially close the parking lot area from July 16th to July 20th to set up the necessary equipment for the project. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers are back in town. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. It's the Brewers and the Dodgers tonight in Milwaukee to kick off a key three-game series. Freddie Peralta, just named to the All-Star game, will start tonight. The Brewers with a 3-1 win yesterday in Miami. Pitcher Brandon Woodruff got the win, holding the Marlins to just one run in six innings. Pat Murphy wasn't sure if Woodruff was ready.
His velo and his other stuff, it didn't indicate like, oh, this guy's going to go six today, but he located it well. And then the second inning, he was better. Third inning, better. Fourth inning, better. Fifth inning, better. It was like, wow. And he said, I'm coming to the end here in between the fifth and the sixth. And he went out in the sixth, and we had guys up in the pen, and it was great.
Woodruff says there's nothing like pitching in the big leagues.
You can't replicate anything that you want to in the minor leagues to get you ready for the big leagues. You just can't. You need to get in this environment, and you need to get back out on that major league mound, and that take care of everything.
That's Brewers pitcher Brandon Woodruff with Sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get into the low to mid 80s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible with a low in the mid 60s. Tomorrow, a few scattered showers and thunderstorms with a high in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 56.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Why do we want to be proud to be an American? Why are we celebrating the United States?
Let's say that you're going to define America in political terms. I define it in terms of what the Founding Fathers did in 1776. An ideal that we are still trying to fully live up to. That all men, all people, I would say, are created equal. All Americans are represented by the stars and stripes. I love the 4th of July.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Shaking out the cobwebs after the long holiday weekend. It's a Monday morning, July 7th, 2025. Nice to have you here up north. Parker Olson's in Madison Studio A2. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is back and will be here as well. And coming up this hour, we'll talk a little bit about podcasts and TV streaming and live music. And we return you to our regularly scheduled trade war already in progress now that we're done talking about Trump's bloated boondoggle of a budget bill. So all that and more. Brandon Woodruff, his triumphant return to the pitching mound for the Milwaukee Brewers. All that and more coming up. But of course, Brittany Merlot is back from the holiday weekend. Hi, from the holiday break. And, you know, with a very pleasant day ahead for a lot of us here. Brittany, how was your weekend?
Oh, it was pretty relaxing. It was nice and comfortable. I kind of liked that rain over the weekend, kind of cooled us down as that front moved through. A little relaxing. How was your weekend?
Well, Parker would have a different opinion on the rain.
It was cooling.
And it was cool. He was actually cold from being soaked in the rain.
I was freezing, Brittany.
He was working a Mallards, working a Madison Mallards game, weren't you?
Yeah, Mallards game, and then it just downpoured, all like snap your fingers and it was downpouring, and I was dripping wet, and then had to stand outside for like another 2.5 hours.
Oh yeah, that's pretty miserable. I'm sorry about that, Parker.
It's okay.
I'm sure a lot of us got caught though.
Nobody's gonna be talking drought for a little while here.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. No, we are not. And we've got a beautiful day ahead of us. Honestly, this week looks fantastic. So a high pressure system is in place. It's moved in right now. Plenty of sunshine across the state. There was some patchy fog this morning, but that's even clearing up here. Temperatures up north in the mid 40s, down south in the upper 60s. And today's highs will rise to the upper 70s statewide. Some mid 80s are expected far southwest, and then some upper 60s closer to the Great Lakes. Obviously, you stay much cooler there. Otherwise, we're staying dry today. We do have a low pressure system that moves in tomorrow, so we could hear some rumbles of thunder overnight, maybe some light rain as you wake up tomorrow morning, and then some more storms could spark up tomorrow afternoon. But none of those should be crazy strong or severe or anything like that. But those are expected on Tuesday, and then we dry things out for the rest of the week with another system headed our way in the weekend. But overall, gosh, they're going to be very comfortable temperatures. That humidity is much less. Honestly, it's like San Diego weather.
Ooh. Yes, that's high praise right there. That's why I took the top down off the Jeep. I was like, okay, I can dodge, you know, I can avoid running errands when the pop-up stuff hits and just get to enjoy it the rest of the time, because you can't drop the top on the Jeep in the wintertime. or
no, you can't. Basically, I mean, you could.
for 10 months out of the year. Yeah, do not recommend. Right. So I'm going to literally ride this forecast as much as I can. Thank you, Brittany. We'll talk to you in the next hour.
Sounds good.
Always a reminder that you can sign up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com, where today there's a link to my article on the winners, losers, and liars as part of the Trump budget bill. And also some of the Wisconsin towns that look like they were taken right out of a storybook because of the unique architecture there. So sign up again, upnorthnewswi.com. Quick reminder that on Thursday, our guest will be Congressman Mark Pocan. No doubt we'll have a lot to say there about the budget debate and where we go from here. So again, Congressman Mark Pocan on Thursday. Let's see, from Robin Tigerton, good morning. Partly cloudy, 58 degrees. I hope my favorite morning people had an awesome 4th of July weekend. I mowed a yard Friday, then watched a full day of McHale's Navy. Wow, that's a deep cut. Channel 11.2 in Green Bay. He watered flowers at Main Street Tigerton, went to Clintonville. Yesterday, went to wash his car, Molly, in Wittenberg. Let's see, I think he's got a couple of other notes here as well. Yesterday, I saw traffic on Highway 45 busy. Trucks and campers going in both directions from people coming from up north and people going to the Hodag Music Festival. In Rhinelander, he says, welcome back to Brittany. And in Tigerton, 1.1 inches of rain Saturday through Sunday morning. He's got mowing jobs in Wittenberg today. The grass is growing fast with all the rain and the humid weather that we've been having lately. No vacation for me. It will be busy mowing lawns, and he will earn his money for a vacation. Whereas Kristen took hers this last week. She and Craig did. What was the unique bike ride that you guys did while you were out in the Boston area?
We did the Midnight Ride of Paul Revere. Wow. We rode from Boston out through Lexington to Concord. And it was, we knew that it was like a historically important ride, obviously. But that was the British are coming, the British are coming path on the 4th of July. That's
nice. Kinda cool. And I feel bad for like anybody that lives along there because, I mean, you have to do it, right? You know, if you're living there, here come the tourists again, and they're showing, the British are coming, the British are coming. Like they hear that all the time.
Well, it's a bike path, and right. So many people were using it. We just kept commenting how great it was because it was part of it was urban, part of it was very rural, but part of it was urban. So people were clearly commuting, and there were families out, and lots of kids and bikes and strollers, and it reminded me so much of the Fox River Trail or the Capital City Loop, where families have a place to go to be able to get from point A to point B, or just maybe enjoy some of the local natural beauty.
It sounds great. I mean, maybe a few too many miles for my liking, but you know, you and Craig are pros at this by now. 130 miles is a slow weekend for you guys, you know.
Oh my gosh, we did a trail in New Hampshire that went along the Presidential Mountain Range. So there's Mount Washington and Jefferson and Madison. And so there's this Rails to Trails. And it started off pretty benign, but then it got pretty rustic. We got a few ticks.
Oh, did you? Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't forget your bug spray, friends. Ticks are a big deal.
I have not had that that happen yet. And thank goodness. You just, when you said the Presidential Range, I had to look it up quick. I'm like, God, did I tell me this was just a dream late last week? No, it wasn't a dream. The New York Times actually had a story about whether there is room to put Donald Trump on Mount Rushmore. And I just caused some people to throw up a little in their breakfast, and I'm very sorry about that. But yeah, can we keep the Presidential Range unspoiled, as it were?
All of these things that sound like a joke are not a joke. And that's one of the weirdest things. Yes. Like, what is a caricature when caricatures are real?
That's exactly where we're at. So when you were in that area around the Revolutionary War, you and Parker were talking during the break about podcasts and that there's a podcast about the revolution that he... I think it was Parker that was recommending it, or were you to him? I lose track. It was Parker to you, right?
It was me.
Oh, okay.
Because in Boston, I had never been to Boston before. Every time you turn around, there's some sort of historical something that makes you wonder, I know that that's relevant, but I just don't know what it means. So I got curious and decided that I needed to learn about the American Revolution. There is a podcast that is free, and it is called the American Revolution Podcast. so it's easy to find. And it's like bite-sized pieces of history that is presented in a very interesting and conversational way. And he does a really nice job at the end of summing up the purpose of the entire episode. So just in case you zoned out for a minute, which tends to happen, you pull it together.
I'm intrigued. And Parker, you were looking for a podcast to listen to as well. So
yeah, maybe I'm excited about this. Sampling. I really like RevWar stuff. I'm really excited about this.
Oh, that's great. By the way, you could pod us too. We are a podcast as well as a live radio show. Head over to Spotify or Apple and subscribe to the program. We'd love to have you listening there. If not every day, just catch some of those, you know, back episodes or guests that you might have missed for your podcasting when you're not busy streaming. And in terms of streaming, I mentioned last week finishing the Netflix series Four Seasons. And last night we finished The Residence, which is a murder mystery about the White House, that there was a murder committed in the White House and this quirky detective solves it. And I don't, this will be a very small spoiler, but I have to get this out anyway. In it includes congressional hearings about this murder in the White House. And again, it's a comedy. The chair of the committee is Al Franken.
Oh.
And it was just so nice. It was so refreshing to see him presiding over this hearing, asking questions, being funny in the process, and just missing, not just missing Al Franken for being so smart and compassionate, but in the category of flawed characters, which of course Al Franken is, but the outrage over somebody's flaws versus the lack of outrage over somebody else's flaws is just absolutely frustrating in this country. And so just wanted to say that to see Al Franken on The Residence, I would recommend that show very highly. I don't know if either one of you two have anything new in the streaming area that you're watching. Not you, Kristen. You actually go outside and play. You ride your bike.
She touches grass.
I did.
She touches grass, yes.
I did start, it's a two-part series, I guess, on Steve Martin, which I'm not a huge Steve Martin fan.
I've seen that. Yes.
But it's really, so I got through the first part. It's really, really good. It's well done. It really made me appreciate him that much more. Yeah.
And I saw it just as I finished his autobiography. Was that the one? Is that Enter Laughing or not? Anyway, it was written many, many years ago, and I just had never gotten around to it till last year. And it's a super good autobiography. And, you know, he's got a complicated family upbringing as well, as other people do. And it shaped who he is now. And then, yeah, seeing the little documentary afterwards was really, really good. You just realize how really good this guy is and how hard he worked at getting to be really good, you know.
I had no idea how very famous he was because he really peaked in the late 70s and 80s, but he was everywhere. I mean, I remember being a little kid and having the headband with the arrows.
Yes, the arrow through the head, right?
And being like 8 years old and knowing what a wild and crazy guy was.
Right.
So, yeah, it was just a huge part of my childhood, and it really penetrated the culture, American culture. So, yeah, definitely worth watching.
Yeah, definitely want to recommend that to folks. Let's do a little sports at 7:18 because it's such a happy story to pass along. Brandon Woodruff is back. I mean, Brandon Woodruff hadn't pitched since September 23rd of 2023. Coincidentally, in Miami, where the Brewers were over the weekend when he went back to the pitching mound after shoulder surgery. And what an outing. Perfect through the first inning, through the second inning, six up, six down. In all, he went six innings, so that'd be 18 outs. He only faced 20 batters, two over the minimum, and those were both hits by the same one player. All in all, he had Jackson Churio hitting a home run and driving in all three runs, as the Brewers beat the Miami Marlins on Sunday. Final score was 3-1 to take two out of three there and to split the road trip between Miami and New York. In Woodruff's six innings, eight strikeouts, no walks, and then the two hits as well. So the Brewers are now at home. They will play the LA Dodgers for this evening, tomorrow evening, and Wednesday afternoon. And then a weekend series at home against the Washington Nationals. And then next week is the All-Star break. So game one of the Brewers-Dodgers series at American Family Field pregame begins at 6:05 on several civic media stations. Head over to the website to learn more and catch the Brewers now with Brandon Woodruff back on the mound as they head into the second half of the season. From the heart of America's up north, live on Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to, like, bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Years ago, I had some, I think I had a rainbow. No, it was a shirt. It was given to me and I wore it because I support all people. And a friend of mine, like, sure you want to walk around in that? You know, a t-shirt, people might think. I'm like, people might think I'm a human being that supports other human beings. I wore sports jerseys sometimes. No one ever says, are you worried people are going to think you're on the Cubs?
I don't think anyone would think that though.
Oh, you haven't seen my curveball.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on WLAKradio.com/contest-terms. As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
So mentioning the Brewers earlier playing the Dodgers, our Free Ticket Friday is back, and maybe you caught it on the 4th of July. We'll have it again coming up this Friday. Also coming up this week is the Northern Wisconsin State Fair in Chippewa Falls, and Todd Alba will be bringing his afternoon radio show right here to the Chippewa County Fairgrounds on Thursday and Friday from 2 to 4. I'll be there with him as well, so come on by. Say hi, bring your cotton candy or your roasted corn, whatever the case may be. We'd love to see you at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair coming up this week. In fact, today is the kickoff of the Sauk County Fair in Baraboo. That runs all week. The Jefferson County Fair and the Lafayette County Fair begin on Wednesday of this week, along with the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. And then on Thursday for the weekend is the Kewaunee County Fair and the Lodi Agricultural Fair. So a lot of fairs and festivals to come see, or pick something new that you haven't been to yet. Kristen, you haven't been to the Northern Wisconsin State Fair, for example.
I have not, but okay. I think it's a great idea to get out there, mm-hmm. get some food, hang out with your friends, and enjoy some live music and festivities.
I really considered over the weekend when, the weather was getting nice on Sunday, that we go up and see some of those state parks north of here that have waterfalls because of the heavy rain. over the past, you know, week or two. And I'm sure those waterfalls are just gorgeous. That's one of my little road trip things, is I'd like to hit more of these parks that have waterfalls on them. Other people, they take the Great River Road up and down the Mississippi. I remember one of the things I was most impressed with a new reporter at the TV station. This was going way, way back now, but he started off in sports and he was moving over to news. But in his mind, the best way to meet people and to get to know the area was every Friday he went to a different community to go to their high school football game.
Oh.
And talk to the locals out there, which, I mean, if you're a reporter, that's excellent advice to give to somebody. Let's see. Alicia says she's going to be at the Kewaunee County Fair on Saturday. So there you go. You can go check her out over there as well. Somewhere in here talking about, I was talking last hour about Kirk Bankstead and the Minocqua Parade and the, I guess prank is the right word for it, that he, you know, threatened to disrupt it, said he was going to bring a crowd up there. Of course, it ended up not happening, and he wanted to point out the silliness of the town's feud with him, that they would spend the resources that they have on legal bills, on law enforcement, all the consternation, all about, you know, a political dispute, for lack of a better term about that. And there's a lot of times that I can't necessarily defend, you know, Kirk for some of the things that he says or the ways that he say it. But, you know, Kristen, you and I both know you always got to come back to the root causes of things. And the root cause here is just, you know, some of the good old boys didn't like that somebody was much too vocal and not in keeping with their politics. And this is just not the kind of behavior we should tolerate from any local government.
From anybody, really. I mean, the first solution shouldn't be to draw your gun and threaten people. The first solution should always be diplomacy, de-escalation, having a conversation, finding a compromise. So this is a reflection of what's happening across the country and the inability that we have as citizens to engage in complicated conversations and find that common ground. Find that common ground. It's there, regardless of whether you are MAGA or on the far left or whatever. There are so many things that we all want in common. So start there and then build out. But that's the opposite of what we've seen with the whole Minocqua Brewing Company situation and in so many other situations, which has caused us to need to use other resources to de-escalate. And Kirk does such a great job of using his sense of humor and his huge crowd to be able to find creative ways around these problems. But other people do it in other ways. You know, humor. I mean, my kids were talking about some of the things that they've seen online, some of the snarky comments that are out there and how Gen Z is dealing with some of the stuff that they're seeing because they feel powerless. So there are ways. We just have to be thoughtful and use our talents and be creative.
Yes, please. And sometimes the better thing is to just walk away. On Thursday mm-hmm. night, for example, you know, after spending the day on the pontoon, and you know, it was a really nice, relaxing birthday, and then we went up to a local bar to see some friends, as we often do on Thursday nights, and met somebody new there. And you know the type, because you've been a candidate, you know, owns a couple of small businesses. And there are a lot of small business owners who are wonderful people. And maybe your politics, you know, they diverge a bit. And then there are the people that own a couple of businesses. And, you know, therefore, everything that they say is right. And I just did not feel like picking a fight with this guy on my birthday. And so he was telling me every conspiracy theory out there. And I thought, well, I guess that's one way to go through life is believing every political conspiracy that's out there, as opposed to maybe leaving room for you to be wrong about some things and not be afraid of the discussion about whether you are right or wrong about some things.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be that tough.
No, if somebody's not willing to have a give and take in a conversation, then is it even worth your breath? Do you even want to give them the oxygen or the attention? I mean, you know, every interaction is different. You got to feel each other out.
Well, exactly. And that's where the one where it's like, I kept kind of looking over to the side to try to give somebody the high sign to pull me out
You're
of
like,
there.
It's my birthday. Save me.
Like, somebody come save me. And eventually it happened, but, you know, sometimes you need a little lesson in humility as well. I mean, not everybody gets a three-hour radio show to share their wisdom with the world. Or an hour on the weekends, like Kristen Lyerly does. You got another show coming up next weekend.
Yeah, we're talking about the unhoused population in Green Bay and some of the creative solutions to solving that very troubling problem. It is going to be a great episode.
Wonderful. Tune into that. Go to civicmedia.us to learn more. Kristen Lyerly, have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, you too.
See you later. We will continue reviewing the day's news coming up after the Midwest Farm Report here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Well, the big, beautiful bill has been signed into effect. Does this mean we're still waiting on a farm bill? I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. Because there are elements within the big, beautiful bill that mimic what a regular farm bill would look like. Tyler Wensloff, National Affairs Coordinator for the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation, says while the big, beautiful bill does include improvements to dairy margin coverage, livestock disaster assistance, and conservation dollars, it isn't really a true farm bill.
While the reconciliation process isn't new, Democrats have used it to pass major, you know, climate investments. It's never been used to reshape core farm bill programs before. So this is a notable shift and could have lasting implications of how farm bill policy is crafted in the future. So we may not see what we've considered traditional farm bills where, you know, you have the SNAP program, you have the agriculture programs combined into one bill. We may not see that in the future because of the process that's been used this time.
Tyler Wensloff, National Affairs Coordinator for the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. The big, beautiful bill also included monies for trade investment to help production agriculture. What it did not include was year-round investment in E15, no grazing investments, and no fix to Proposition 12. Wensloff says that is going to mean we'll still need to keep an eye on Washington and find out if they're going to have the appetite for finishing a farm bill this year.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVet's Bovine Goldlight to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Goldlight keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Goldlight at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
And tickets are now available for the 11th annual Wisconsin Farm to Table event. It's being hosted August 22nd by Trifecta Farms in Fox Lake, giving ticket holders a unique opportunity to discover Wisconsin agriculture through a culinary lens. Go to wifarmtotable.com. And the tickets are available there. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get into the low to mid 80s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible with a low in the mid 60s. Tomorrow, a few scattered showers and thunderstorms with a high in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life.
SavedByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Tomorrow on the program, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area on the new state budget. And in a sec, I'll talk about that as well. The discordant Democrats, the disheartened daycare providers, the exasperated educators, and of course, everybody waiting to hear if it'll be a case of two-term Tony or three. Will he run for re-election or not? Dan Schaefer clearly has some feelings about this, re-upping his column again on why he believes Governor Evers should not run for a third term. And there are some Democrats who feel like the governor did not expend enough political capital in this budget process. We'll see if we agree or disagree when we talk to Dan tomorrow, and I'll give a little preview coming up here in a couple of moments. First on the text line, talking about the Brewers playing the Dodgers this weekend. I'm kind of embarrassed to say I have been a baseball fan all my life, Parker. And yeah. I guess I just never thought about how the LA Dodgers got their name. Obviously back from their time in Brooklyn when they were the Brooklyn Dodgers. Yeah. And leave it to Jim in Brookfield, comes up on the text line and says, "Hello, Pat. I just learned from my baseball encyclopedia nephew over the fourth that the LA Dodgers got their name in Brooklyn from dodging trolley cars."
Yeah.
They were Dodgers that way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the not Marina. The most earth-shaking thing, but it's nice to know that now in my 60s, I can go, "Oh, today I learned."
Yeah, the more you know.
The more you know.
I did know that, actually.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Wow. I have to think maybe I heard it at one point, and it just didn't sink in.
I'm sure. But, yeah, that's one of those things that you definitely hear once and go, "Ah, cool."
But then when they change cities, it's like, okay, so they come to Los Angeles. Yeah, I don't know what L.A. had for a trolley system. It's kind of like when the New Lakers, Orleans Jazz moved to Utah and became the Utah Jazz. Like,
yeah.
What?
Or like
what?
The Lakers when they're in Minnesota and then they moved
to L.A. Yeah, the Lakers leaving Minneapolis, right. I mean, at least when the Hartford Whalers hockey team went to Carolina, they changed it to the Carolina Hurricane.
Yeah.
That makes a little bit more sense. So,
that's true. Yeah. I'm into that stuff.
Yeah. Okay. One of the things I wanted to get into as well, we'll come back to the state budget in a moment, but first back over to the federal side of things because, well, essentially we now return you to your regularly scheduled trade war already in progress because you might recall that Wednesday was a deadline given back in April by President Donald Trump to have America's trading partners, friend and foe alike, come to him and reach deals, or he was going to impose these strict tariffs that he said were going to bring manufacturing back to our shores. So he announced these steep tariffs. The markets plunged. He said, "Well, I'm going to give it 90 days. He was greeted as doing everybody some kind of a favor for putting the gun down. And now we're coming up on the 90 days where at last check, there are concepts of a plan. There are concepts of a trade deal with the UK and Vietnam. And I believe that's it. I think that's the list. I'm not expecting 88 more countries to work out deals." And so the headline in the New York Times says, "Trump keeps foreign countries on edge as tariff deadline nears. The president is again threatening higher tariff rates on a dozen foreign nations as a deadline elapses this week for making trade deals." Well, again, it's putting all of the, it's putting all the credit on Trump. Like, he's the one keeping foreign countries on edge. It's Trump introducing chaos. That's what he's doing. He's not keeping people on edge. He is a threat to the global economy. I mean, we've already seen how the American recovery, which was the best in the world post-pandemic, has come to a screeching halt. The economy grew smaller in the last quarter, in the last quarterly report. And if it grew smaller in this next quarterly report, that's the definition of a recession, that we may be in a recession right now, thanks to the economic uncertainty that Donald Trump put in, all of the many thousands upon thousands of layoffs of government workers, the layoffs that resulted from the uncertainty of these trade deals. And yet here everybody is watching to see what Trump will do this week. And look, either he's going to, again, make up something like out of the goodness of my heart, I'm going to extend this for another 6 months or something, and people are going to somehow give him credit for it. Or he's going to impose these steep tariffs, and we're going to find a lot of emptier shelves later this year when people are going Christmas shopping, for example. Or he backs down entirely and says that he made his point because we want to see more taco memes. Trump always chickens out. And again, I thought enough people saw through this in his first go-round in office, that he's all bluster until he's not. And then when he actually does carry through on something, it is almost always harmful. I mean, unless you're a wealthy person who's about to get immense tax breaks at the expense of everybody else, there's not much else you can point to say that Donald Trump did this thing right economically that benefited middle-class Americans. It's just not there. The people who like him like the bluster. They like the attitude. They like that he hates the same people that they hate, or at least they can all blame the same people. But not everybody, of course, is amused by this, and that's why Elon Musk, who's no longer Trump's bestie, is talking about starting a new third party. We'll talk about that in the third hour of the program coming up here. But to keep things on the federal and the state budget bills, let's come back to the state one for a moment, because as I mentioned, Dan Schaefer and other commenters on Facebook have expressed their displeasure with what the state budget bill ultimately did and how it ultimately came down. Now, again, as a refresher, the budget will cut taxes by $1.3 billion. It will spend hundreds of millions on building projects at the UW system. It does expand some Medicaid funding for now because, again, the Trump bill will eventually restrict it. Increases funding for special education. It funds some new child care programs, but does not provide nearly the direct support to daycare providers that they would like. There's an expansion of the second lowest tax bracket. There's the exemption of some retirement income from taxation, eliminates the residential utility sales tax, and creates a film tax credit. It will cost a little bit more to get a driver's license, buy license plates, or title a vehicle. And in his latest column, Dan Schaefer asks if it was all enough. Did Evers and Democrats press hard enough for their newfound leverage? And that leverage came because there were a handful of Republicans who had already said they were not going to support what the Joint Finance Committee was coming up with because they wanted deeper cuts. And we'll never know how they would have voted because we know on the federal side, Ron Johnson caved. Ron Johnson said this thing is going to drive the debt too high. But then he caved and went along with it anyway. And we'll never know if those two or three state senators would have done the same thing because instead, legislative Republicans turned to state Senate Democrats and negotiated with them for things that would attract enough Democratic votes to pass a budget. Now, I'm going to admit, I'm still a little surprised that they did that. I was pretty well convinced that Republicans were going to choose having no state budget because there wasn't enough of a downside for them. You see, in Wisconsin, state government doesn't shut down if there's no budget. You know, the previous budget just plods along. You can't have that at the federal level. At the federal level, there is a government shutdown. And Republicans have never come out ahead after a government shutdown. To them, the party of small government nowadays means the party of no government. And the American people don't want that. They still want a basic level of services. We can disagree on whether they're spending too much on this or that, but you don't cut out all services entirely in the form of a government shutdown. And Republicans have had to learn that the hard way at the federal level. But at the state level, I didn't see nearly the level of political risk for Republicans. I mean, even if this bill hadn't passed last week, yeah, there would not be $1.3 billion in tax cuts. But that money would still be sitting there in surplus and would sit there until after next year's gubernatorial election, when Republicans might have a Republican governor and a Republican legislature, and they could give $3 or $4 billion back in tax cuts and not make any investments in schools, the UW system, infrastructure, the environment, healthcare, you name it. But they did make it a bipartisan matter with Governor Evers. They did negotiate details for increases in spending in some areas like special education. It's just that in the end, based on what I'm seeing over the weekend, there are plenty of people, from progressive activists to childcare providers to Democratic politicians, who believe not nearly enough was done, and there should have been either a veto of the bill or just no vote at all. And again, just the last budget would carry over. And so I'll be curious, talking to those folks this week, what they saw as the potential upside to that. The potential upside of having no budget at all rather than a budget that had some good things but not all of the things that they wanted. And how does that affect Governor Evers' decision on whether to run for a third term? Does he hear all of this discord? Does he hear the criticism and believe that it would be best if he passed the torch to somebody else? Does he instead feel like he actually looks like the centrist in the room, and that makes him the strongest candidate for being elected to a third term next year? If Tony Evers decides to run for a third term, how many Democrats, how many progressive activists out there will do the bare minimum of effort because they're not happy with this budget, and they don't feel like he fought hard enough for it? And if that happens and a Republican wins the governor's race next year, who gets the blame? Is it Tony Evers for running, or is it the people that could only follow him or support him half-heartedly? Tom in Hartford on the text line says very simply, Evers should run. And we had that as a question of the week in our Sunday newsletter a couple weeks back, you know, whether Evers should run for another term or not. And as I noted in the follow-up article, those were some of the most passionate answers we've ever received to a question to our audience on both sides. Adamant that Tony Evers is far and away the best hope for Democrats, has the best record, has done the most for Democrats, and others who say he's done too little, that he needs to, again, pass the torch, that we need somebody who's more of a fighter. Even if that fight does or doesn't lead to the progress that you want, I don't know. Do some people just want to fight for the sake of a fight, or because they know it can be productive? These are the things that I'm very curious to talk to people about this week and in all of the time leading up to and after Governor Evers' decision to run for a third term or not. So for more about that, you're going to want to tune into tomorrow's conversation with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area. We will get into it during our 8:30 half hour tomorrow. A local break is next for some of you. The rest will come back here live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
as Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the recombobulation area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Thomas Jefferson is credited with most of the text of the Declaration of Independence, but the independence part came from a Virginian named Richard Henry Lee on June 7, 1776. The First Continental Congress sent a list of grievances in 1774 to King George III, among them the loss of their rights under English law, the occupation by British forces in peacetime, and the oppressive coercive acts passed by Parliament to shut down colonial unrest. The King and Parliament didn't respond other than to pass more restrictive laws. By mid-May 1776, eight colonies supported independence, including Virginia, which directed its delegates to support independence at the Second Continental Congress. Virginia delegate Richard Henry Lee on June 7th presented his resolution for independence to the Congress in Philadelphia, which tabled action until July 2nd. In the interim, Thomas Jefferson, with light editing by Benjamin Franklin and John Adams, crafted a statement which would become the Declaration of Independence, which included Richard Henry Lee's independence resolution word for word. Resolved that these united colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is, and ought to be, totally dissolved. Read the full Declaration of Independence at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
So in between getting soaked in the rain, covering a Mallards game and the other activities, did you either watch or hear any of Brandon Woodruff's return to the Milwaukee Brewers pitching mound yesterday in Miami, Mr. Olson?
I was lucky enough to not have anything going on Sunday. So I went golfing with my dad, my uncle in the morning, and then got back in time to watch Big Woo.
Okay, so you did see it.
Yeah, I saw the whole thing. It was great.
How good did he look? Because I heard the game on the radio while I was driving.
The combo of the sinker and I don't know if it's a sinker. I think it might be a two-seamer. And the four-seamer were so nice. They look so similar until they break, and they break so opposite of each other. Mm-hmm. He looked fantastic. He had so much life in his pitches. I couldn't believe it. Didn't even seem like he lost that much velocity, which was really nice and something that you wouldn't really expect. So
no, you wouldn't, great. Especially somebody who hasn't pitched in almost 2 years, before he went out with the shoulder surgery. And I recall that when he had that shoulder surgery after the 2023 season, and not long after that, the Brewers were, I'm not going to say rebuilding, but there was a little volatility in the signings.
Yeah.
And when they announced that they signed him to a contract extension as he's recovering from shoulder surgery, I'm like, that's bold. I mean, that's That's a vote
of
confidence.
Of trust. Yeah.
And a lot of trust. And he did not let them down. I'm sure he returned the favor and said, well, if they're putting this kind of faith in me. So he was, as I've said, practically perfect yesterday.
Yeah.
Over six innings, just two batters over the minimum, two hits, no walks, eight strikeouts. And so, yeah, really nice to have him back. I would not have put money on it back then, you know.
No.
Especially now with Garrett Mitchell, you know, blowing out his shoulder again. I really would not have bet on a comeback for Brandon Woodruff. So
I was waiting for him to get pulled.
If I'm gushing a lot this morning about it, it's because it is such a pleasant surprise for me compared to how I felt, you know, a year and a half ago.
That's fair. Yeah. I fully expected him to have to get pulled because it was starting to feel a little too much on his shoulder, but he looked really good.
Yep. Let's see. Jimmy Koska is off today. We'll talk to him on Wednesday and then again next Monday about some sports. But it looks to be that Freddie Peralta is the only All-Star selection for the game in Atlanta on July 15th. So congratulations to Fastball Freddie. Hope that he has a good appearance while he's there. I also see in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that Carlos Gomez was taking batting practice in Miami with the team for the annual Alumni Home Run Derby, which will be after the game at American Family Field on July 25th. He's 39 years old now and apparently looked really good, you know, taking his swings out there over the weekend.
I think that Home Run Derby thing that they're doing, I think that's going to be a riot. I think that's going to be so fun.
I wonder if you were going to say home run derbies are so yesterday and all that. But
the actual home run derby, I'm not a fan of.
Yeah,
the Brewers Alumni one, I think is going to be awesome.
They have monkeyed with that with the home run derby at the All Star game. So much. I didn't watch any of it last year because I just didn't want to go through. Well, on top of that, even before you get to the home run derby, the intros and things. I don't think the first swing was for like 45 minutes.
That's very possible. Know? Yeah, I mean it's just. They made it into a terrible system that it's a bracket now. I think that's what it still is this year. It's a bracket. And now everyone's just tired because they're taking 100 swings. It's not fun to watch stars get really tired over a half hour contest.
And I don't know the format for the Brewers one at the end of July, but Gomez will be one of the team captains, so there will be a team thing. Ryan Braun will be the other. And then the participants include Giovanni Gallardo, Bill Hall, Corey Hart, Casey McGee, Eric Thames, and Niger Morgan.
Ooh, Tony Plush coming back.
Tony Plush, T Plush is coming back, which is going to be great. You know, with him and Braun and you know, the others, they're gonna run so many highlights from the 2018 season. I mean, it'll be worth it to go just for the highlights.
That's a lot of nostalgia. That's a lot of fun names.
You know, I mean, look, you could look up the highlights on YouTube right now if you wanted to, but it won't be, you know, they're going to do it there. And that's going to be a lot of fun for the crowd on the 25th.
That'll be really cool.
So it reminds me, that's when Civic Media, they have tickets.
Do we have a game that day?
I'm sure that there's something going on there. In fact, I think I know somebody who might have already snarfed up the tickets for that.
You?
So it's possible. I'll get back to you on that with a price.
If you have an extra, I might try to make time.
I think that'd be fun. So anyway, the Brewers now back to real life, back to the reality this week. We'll be playing the Los Angeles Dodgers. I have not looked up the pitching matchups for that, so I don't
know who, I don't remember what day it is, but we're going to get a fun one. Or you're going to get the Miz versus Kershaw.
Oh, that's right. Yes, I did hear that first. And isn't that, I think that's the Tuesday night game,
I was thinking the Tuesday, maybe the Wednesday. I don't remember for sure. Follows Freddie. You're right. He's Tuesday.
Okay. Well, there you go. So, I mean, that's going to be fun to watch with the Dodgers, who we learned just this hour were named for dodging trolleys in Brooklyn.
More, you know.
Some of the older folks out there are like, how did you not know that?
Like,
I don't know. I think I did. I'm not sure. Anyway, games are this evening, tomorrow night, and then Wednesday afternoon at American Family Field. And then the Washington Nationals will come after a day off on Thursday. The Washington Nationals will be here Friday night, Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon. And then comes the All-Star break next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, followed by one of the last really big road trips for the Brewers, out to L.A. to play the Dodgers in L.A. on that weekend after the All-Star game, and then up to Seattle after that. So a bit of a challenging road work ahead of them, especially with these, you know, six games against the Dodgers over the next 2 weeks. But we got, you got Big Wu on the mound. And once you got that, you've got a base to build off of.
For sure. I think he could be a very, very nice addition for this pitching rotation, which has already been good.
Yeah. Coming up in our next hour, the third hour. What about this third party for Elon Musk? We'll talk about that and much more ahead live from Lake Wissota here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. Fast-moving floodwaters in Texas over the weekend are responsible for at least 80 deaths, according to emergency officials there, and many are still missing. ABC's Mac Gutman is in Kerrville, Texas.
Rescuers growing desperate to find the missing and recover those swept away by the historic flash floods that left over 40 missing. In the pre-dawn hours of July 4th, waters rising 26 feet in less than an hour. Many still asleep. The ground dried by drought acted like concrete, sending the water rushing straight into river basins.
More rain is in the forecast for later today. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will be in Washington this evening, set for a meeting with President Trump at the White House. The two leaders are expected to discuss a potential ceasefire proposal amid Israel's ongoing war in Gaza. This will also mark the first time Trump and Netanyahu have met since the U.S. struck three of Iran's nuclear facilities. This is ABC News.